This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
Mr. President, a majority of Americans disapprove of your handling of Social Security, rising gas prices, and the economy. Are you frustrated by that and by the fact that you're having trouble getting traction on your agenda in a Republican-controlled Congress?
Look, we're asking people to do things that haven't been done for 20 years. We haven't addressed the Social Security problem since 1983. We haven't had an energy strategy in our country for decades. And so I'm not surprised that some are balking at doing hard work. But I have a duty as the president to define problems facing our nation and to call upon people to act.
President Bush answering a question at a White House press conference on Thursday. NPR senior news analyst Dan Schur joins us now. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And the president is nearing the end of his 60-day, 60-city whistle-stop tour of the country. I guess they don't blow whistles anymore. to promote Social Security reform to Americans. But so far, according to opinion polls, he hasn't changed many minds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at this press conference, did the president say anything new about his plans for Social Security that you think might have more potential for swaying public opinion?
Well, he certainly said something new. Whether it's more potential, I don't know. What he did is what people had asked him to do all along, is how are you going to pay for all this? Mm-hmm. And his answer now comes, as if you read the headlines around the country, benefit cuts. That's to say that what he proposed is that you get a graduated income scale, and on that scale, future benefit increases for all except 30% of the lowest income people, and then scaling it off that way. Now, it sounds like a historic break with the whole idea of Social Security as a social insurance program where you pay your dues and then you get your pension when you get old enough for it. Now it has taken on a little bit of the element of a welfare program. That is to say, means-tested, targeted to the lowest income people. It's like the difference between Medicare and Medicaid. Medicare is an entitlement no matter how poor you are, how rich you are. Question is, how will this fare in Congress? The Ways and Means Committee Chairman Bill Thomas in the House last remembered in January for talking about the thing coming in as a beating a dead horse. Now he says that he hopes to have a bill by June. What we don't yet know is who's going to buy it. I think the Democrats will probably oppose it in this form. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're simply stage two or stage three of a long and complicated battle.
A point, though, a little refresher course in history. Was Social Security established as an entitlement program in part to give it broad support and not just in one
economic
sector?
Exactly, to give it broad support and to make all Americans feel as good as all other Americans. I mean, that was the whole mystique that went with Social Security, mm-hmm. is that you don't have to be poor, you don't have to beg for it, and you're entitled to it because you paid your dues.
Want to cover some other issues that the president covered, including U.S. energy policy, North Korea's nuclear ambitions. And he also reiterated his support for John Bolton, his nominee for ambassador to the United Nations.
Yes, he did. At this point, I'm not
sure. His appointee to be ambassador to the United
Nations. His nominee. As a matter of fact, a short course. He is nominated, and with the consent of Senate, he's appointed. So appointment doesn't take place until after he's confirmed.
Okay, thank you.
In any event, he wants to get him confirmed, and he's going to try to get him confirmed, and he expressed confidence in him again at his Thursday night press conference. Chairman Dick Lugar, Senate Foreign Relations Committee, has been obliged to postpone a vote in that committee for a couple of weeks. Now there are more and more, one person after another comes up with a story of having been maltreated and abused by Bolton for not buying his theories about Cuba or Syria. This is not a strictly partisan dispute. It has managed to enlist some Republicans expressing grave doubts about John Bolton. So it's a way of saying he may make it in the end, but he's in trouble as of now.
Mm-hmm. Is this a reminder that the president, after all, is in his second term and a lame duck, and there are people voting on this nomination who are worried about their political futures?
That is certainly true for this as for a great many things. It is He does not have to face the voters again. Most of the people in Congress do. And now they're thinking in Congress of what's good for me, not what's good for Bush.
Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist continued his campaign against the filibustering of the president's judicial nominees. He made a speech on the floor offering a compromise on this issue. He says that senators could have the option of filibustering nominations for district court judges in exchange for guaranteed votes for higher court judges. Why was this not an acceptable compromise?
It was not an acceptable compromise. Well, everybody knows that what we're talking about is not district court judges, not appeals court judges. We're talking about the next Supreme Court judge who would have a profound effect on the history of this country. And so everything now that they're fighting about is simply the preliminaries to the grand battle. And therefore, to say that you cannot filibuster on appeals court judges means you also cannot filibuster on a Supreme Court justice nominee. Mm-hmm. And the Democrats are not going to buy that. We are going to probably face a floor battle over the filibuster.
So assuming the Democrats stay and in rejection of this compromise, do you think that inevitably leads to, for reasons that have always been beyond me, why it's called the nuclear option?
Well, it's called the nuclear option because it's supposed to be so deadly, I suppose. Yeah. But what it leads to is
I get it confused with North Korea, I guess.
What it leads to is a vote which can be done by a simple majority to change the rules. And then after you've changed the rules, then you don't have the filibuster anymore. The Democrats say, yeah, possibly you can do that. But if you do that, it's going to be all hell breaking loose and you won't get anything through Congress for a long time. So if they both stick in their positions, we're going to have a rather exciting time.
Explain this to me on Congress, finally. Republicans on the Ethics Committee voted to reverse changes in ethics rules that were adopted in January that would have made it somewhat more complicated to conduct investigations. Democrats accused them of changing the rules to try and protect the majority leader, Tom DeLay. But Mr. DeLay also voted for reversal of the rules.
Well, he realized he'd lost in this one. He's getting a very bad press around the country. Mm-hmm. And he's been told by his friendly Republicans, look, you're going to have to back down on this. And so he's had to go along with Speaker Hastert, who says we will reverse the rules that we issued, which you were so angry about, and we're going back to the old rules. And yes, there will be some kind of investigation of DeLay. And that's the way it's now going to be.
Dan, I'm going to be away for a couple of weeks, so I'm going to ask you a personal favor.
Sure.
Please be nice to Linda Wertheimer.
Oh, that would be very, very difficult, but I'll do my best. Everybody know I'm kidding?
Not so nice she gets too comfortable.
Does everybody know I'm kidding?
Oh, no. It's wonderful to have her here. Right. Thanks very much, Dan Schor.